I'm Haley B. Miller, and this is Ohio Politics Explained, a podcast where you give us 15 minutes and we give you all the news you need to sound smart and impress your friends. Welcome to Ohio Politics Explained, the final countdown edition. This week, we're talking about the last days of the Ohio Senate primary, a proposal to increase the state's minimum wage, why Governor Mike DeWine wants schools to ban cell phones, and what state officials are saying about the April eclipse. Joining me today is Anthony Shoemaker.
Hey, Haley, how's it going?
Oh, you know, just another slow week before the election.
Are you counting down the days?
Maybe. Before we get going, if you're an Oak fan, I don't know if that's an Oper or what you want to call that, but we would really appreciate a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. To kick things off, let's talk about the Ohio Senate race. Bernie Moreno, Matt Dolan, and Frank LaRose are sprinting to the finish line ahead of Tuesday's primary, and the winner will take on Senator Sherrod Brown this fall. Things have gotten wild in the past week. A quick recap, former President Donald Trump will be in Ohio Saturday to campaign for Moreno. Dolan scored some pretty big endorsements from DeWine and former Senator Rob Portman. LaRose, even though he's pretty well known, is kind of languishing at the end here. And we saw two new polls this week showing that there are still a lot of undecided voters. I'm not bold enough to make a prediction. What about you?
Yeah, this is almost like, you know, casino gambling here. It could go any way. The polls are all over the place. They're all just kind of muddled together. And then you have these giant undecided numbers. The Ohio Northern poll has 44% undecided and the Emerson poll had 32% undecided. So what can you really take from the polls? You know, I mean, I think that's why Trump's coming. It's obviously a late push to light a fire under Moreno, but it just kind of looks like it's anyone's game right now. And the ads have been crazy.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I think back in December when Moreno got the endorsement, a lot of people were like, well, this is over, basically. I mean, obviously, a Trump endorsement is a big deal in a Republican primary. But I even remember Senator J.D. Vance telling me a couple months ago that, like, while a Trump endorsement helps, the candidate still has to do the work. And, you know, Vance is backing Moreno and thinks Moreno has been doing that work. But clearly the Trump endorsement by itself is not getting him where he needs to be.
Yeah, I mean, the Trump endorsement doesn't seem to be getting Moreno where he needs to be. But I think it was vital for Vance. You know, maybe it's just a different cycle. But I mean, Vance was really elevated by that Trump endorsement there toward the end in 2022. Moreno seems to be benefiting from it, but not as much. I'm not sure why that is.
And the Dolan momentum has been pretty interesting to watch. And we kind of saw this when he ran in 2022, that like near the end, he was starting to climb in the polls a little bit and ended up getting third in that primary, just like a skosh behind Josh Mandel.
Yeah. And the Emerson poll that just came out, they do point out that Dolan's gone up 10 points since they did the poll in January. So it does seem like there is some momentum behind him, which I'm guessing is probably why Governor DeWine changed his position. Originally, Governor DeWine said he wasn't backing a candidate, and now he's backed Dolan.
You mentioned the ads. They have been crazy. Whenever I'm watching Jeopardy, I have to like mute my commercials. But one that stuck out to me just dropped, I think it was a day or two ago, a national group for Senate Democrats actually put out an ad that on the surface is critical of Bernie Moreno, but if you're a Republican primary voter, it actually makes Moreno appealing because it talks a lot about the Trump endorsement and kind of Moreno's MAGA credentials. And this appears like an effort by Democrats to meddle in the primary and get Moreno to the finish line, because I think they see him as an easier challenger for Brown in the fall.
Yeah, I think they're thinking, you know, attacking Trump is going to be the way to help Brown. But, you know, it's weird because, you know, Trump and Brown are going to be on the ballot on the same day, you know, in the fall. So that's a strategy that could backfire on them. You know, this is, you know, the only other time Senator Brown's been on the ballot with a presidential election was 2012, when he benefited from Barack Obama being on the ballot. He's kind of got the opposite problem this time.
And the pitch that Dolan is making, and you heard him saying this a lot this week, along with Rob Portman when they were out campaigning together, is that Dolan can appeal to independent voters. He can pick up voters in some areas that maybe Republicans don't always do as well in. And they see this ad from the Dems as a clear sign that they think Dolan is a threat and they're not super thrilled about it.
Yeah. And Dolan's also, you know, got a lot of money and, you know, ties to Cleveland. And, you know, for Sherrod Brown to pull this off in the fall, he's got to do very well in Cuyahoga County and the more liberal parts of the state.
Well, we will see what happens. Just a few more days.
Just a few more days. And then it's on to November.
Our second topic today is a ballot issue that would increase Ohio's minimum wage. Advocates want to put a constitutional amendment before voters in November that would gradually raise the minimum wage to $15 by 2026. Under this plan, tipped workers would earn the full minimum wage starting in 2029, plus whatever they make in tips. Raise the Wage Ohio has until July 5th to collect 413,000 voter signatures. And they seem to be making good progress at this point. What are folks on each side of this saying?
Yeah, I mean, the One Fair Wage folks and the Service Employees International Union are big backers of this. They're already putting like almost $2 million in donations toward it. You know, the Chamber of Commerce and restaurant associations are coming out against it. This will have a huge impact on a lot of people. I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of tipped workers in the state. And you have to think that there's, I could see that this making the ballot and Sherrod Brown being on the ballot in the fall, I could see a connection there. I would imagine the Brown campaign would like to see this on the ballot in November.
Yeah, because Brown really tries to pitch himself as a pro-worker guy. And, you know, a lot of the unions and workers and folks like that are backing this minimum wage issue. And as we saw with last year's elections, sometimes these issues versus particular candidates are more enticing to Ohio voters.
Yeah, we saw a huge turnout last year with issue one in August and then the abortion and the marijuana issues. And we could have multiple issues on the ballot this fall, also redistricting.
You mentioned the restaurant folks are kind of opposed to this at this point. What are they saying? Are they planning any sort of campaign against this ballot effort?
Yeah, I mean, they're saying that, you know, eliminating the non-tip wage would hurt these small businesses and small restaurants, would drive up the cost of eating out. You know, Ohio is apparently home to more than 500,000 workers that would be impacted by this. And according to the story that Laura Bischoff and the Bureau here did this week, 8 in 10 restaurant owners oppose the constitutional amendment, according to a poll they did last year on this. And a lot of them say they're already paying a starting wage at $15 and that this isn't necessary.
Interesting. And I think Laura's story said that Ohio is going to be one of 4 states voting on a minimum wage hike this year.
Yeah.
All right, our third topic is cell phones in schools. DeWine said this week that schools should consider banning or limiting their use by students. He and Lieutenant Governor John Husted say kids are becoming addicted to cell phones to the detriment of their mental health. DeWine doesn't plan to take action himself. He thinks these rules should be set by the districts. And right now, it seems like these school officials are caught between wanting to promote like in-person social interaction, but also making sure students can be reached in a crisis.
Yeah, I mean, this is an interesting topic. I mean, Governor DeWine and Lieutenant Governor Husted have kind of been on this warpath for a while in other ways. I mean, they've been, you know, kind of anti-TikTok, anti-social media. This is a kind of a natural progression on this. But, you know, as Aaron Glenn reported this week, who's new to our bureau, you know, parents have concerns. I mean, they want to be able to reach their kids in case there's a shooting or a, you know, a safety issue. You know, some districts apparently make students lock their phones in like cases, kind of like you're going to a concert or something. So, yeah, the policies across the state are all over the place.
Well, I remember when I was in high school, not in Ohio, but, you know, this was before smartphones really became part of everyday life. And I had a cell phone, but they weren't so common that you could just kind of have them out. So I know my school always said, like, put it away. Don't have it out.
Yeah, they never liked it when I took my rotary phone to school.
I'll be curious to see. I mean, you mentioned like DeWine and Husted have really been hammering these issues of technology and kids and kind of the relationship there. It seems like Ohio isn't typically a state that'll put wholesale restrictions on districts. They tend to do things at the local level,
yeah,
for the most part, at least. But
and you have like 600 school districts in Ohio, so the policies will kind of be all over the place. I mean, there's no doubt that cell phone access, you know, causes students to be distracted. you know, but for all the negatives, I guess, then there's also the positives of parents being able to reach their kids and security issues. So how they're going to find that medium that people can agree on and feel comfortable with is going to be the challenge.
Our final topic for today is the solar eclipse, which I am super excited about. State officials held a news conference this week to break down what Ohioans can expect on April 8th. The big thing is traffic. We saw this in other states in 2017. Once the eclipse was over, everyone wanted to hit the road at the same time, and there were major, major traffic delays. In Southern Illinois, I think some people spent like 12 hours in the car afterward. What are Ohio officials saying? What are some of their tips?
Yeah, Ohio officials are really, you know, they're not so much concerned about people finding a place to watch the eclipse. Like you said, they're worried about, okay, the eclipse is over. Now everybody jumps on the highway to leave at the same time and causes massive traffic jam. So what the state of Ohio is encouraging people to do, I guess not a bad marketing idea, is to stay in Ohio for the night. You know, spend the night and stay here. Don't jump on the road right away. So they're encouraging people to get hotels and stuff.
Yeah, and I think even like the state tourism officials have been advertising other things to do in the communities in totality, like, you know, museums, breweries, restaurants, stuff like that.
Yeah, I know that like in the Dayton area where they have the Air Force Museum, they're encouraging people to stick around and go see that, which is free and open to the public. But, you know, Ohio is going to be one of the best states to watch this. Cleveland's going to be one of the largest cities that in the nation that's in the path of totality. So they're expecting upwards of maybe more than 500,000 people to travel to Ohio that day.
Yeah, just don't pull over on the side of the road and watch the eclipse.
No, and wear your glasses.
And one more thing before you go. Ohio's primary is Tuesday, of course. Polls are open that day from 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. If you're mailing your absentee ballot, that needs to be postmarked by Monday. Otherwise, you can bring it to your local board of elections before polls close on Tuesday. Happy voting. Ohio Politics Explained is brought to you by the USA Today Network Ohio Bureau. You can check us out on X, formerly known as Twitter, @OhioExplained.